Welcome back to the Vince Salerno Podcast, episode 63. I'm on a roll here. Let's hope I stick with it. Not too much to talk about this past week. I thought about maybe talking about Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, and some of the mixed reactions going out of that, but other people are doing a much better job of covering that than I am, so I'm going to let that stand where it is. I will say, I am saddened by the fact that I was unable to see this movie. I know it was my own choice, but, you know, it sucks. It sucks when Disney puts this stuff in their movies, when they take this narrative, this stance on society, this woke narrative, and it ruins things for everybody, you know? Not everybody. I mean, obviously there are people who, you know, think what I'm saying is stupid and disagree with me and are going to see it in spite of it. But I'm sure some people are going to like the movie regardless. Maybe general audiences who don't pay attention to this stuff as much as I do are going to see it and they're going to enjoy it. Totally, totally up to you. I'm not telling people what to do. I'm not saying you're wrong if you like it. I'm just saying, you know, I'm putting this information out there so that you can make informed decisions. And that's what This Week in Woke is about, which I added to my podcast last week. Of course, unfortunately, when that episode came out, it was after Black Panther released, and my intent was to get that out before Black Panther released. So either way, if you're just listening to this and you're thinking about seeing Wakanda Forever and you haven't, know there is some LGBTQ stuff in there. The movie in general seems to be a little insensitive in its portrayal of certain cultures and races. It's just what I've heard. So that's all I'm going to say. Take caution when going to see it, if you really do want to see it. If you do see it, that's fine. It's your money, it's your life. But if you don't want to support these things, if you don't want to see more of this crap regurgitated into our culture and specifically marketed towards kids, that's what this is about. If you don't want to see this stuff marketed towards kids, then don't see the movie. That's your prerogative. It's your money. You can choose how to spend it. But this podcast is not going to be about any of that. We're going to talk about and break down the Indiana Jones 5 rumors and speculation, because if you've watched YouTube recently or just followed me in general, especially like the past 15, 20 years, you know I'm a huge Indiana Jones fan, and this was my most anticipated film going into 2023, and it's kind of not anymore, and I want to go through a lot of the rumors and speculation and announcements that have come out in regards to Indy 5, and let's see if this is going to be another woke disaster from Kathleen Kennedy, or if she's actually going to pull this off. Right now, I think she will, given the team she has behind her. But we're not going to discuss that right now in the intro. Let's start the show, the Vince Salerno Podcast, which is going to start right now. So Indiana Jones 5 has been in the works, my gosh, has been in the works since 2008, since Kingdom of the Crystal Skull wrapped up. I believe Lucas and Spielberg and Ford were either planning or hoping to come back for another one or maybe a couple more movies. And then talks stalled, and of course, you know, the Disney merger, all this stuff delayed this movie coming out. But now it's here. It's going to be here. It's filmed. It's got a new director, a new team behind it. Before I get into all that, I do want to discuss just briefly my relationship with Indiana Jones and how I fell in love with this character, with this series of films, and everything involved with it. So when I was a kid, I was already a huge Star Wars fan. I have very great memories of growing up with Star Wars, with my action figures, with my Legos, with my dad's VHS copy of episode 5 and 6. And my brother and I didn't realize at the time that there was an episode 4 or that there wasn't a Star Wars preceding or a Star Wars coming before the other two films that we had seen so long. That's another story I'll get into some other day. But we were big Star Wars Lucasfilm fans. We knew the name, we knew George Lucas, and I knew who Indiana Jones was generally within the culture. But as far as watching the movies, knowing the lore, knowing the characters, I knew none of that. I just knew it was a very popular Hollywood blockbuster film. My introduction to Indiana Jones began, I believe I was in maybe sixth or seventh grade. And, you know, when you're in, at least, I don't know how schools do it these days. When I was a kid, in school, you always had to have a book with you. You always had to be reading a book. If you weren't doing homework, you should be reading. Which, you know, in hindsight, is a pretty good pretty good rule. I like that. I like that a lot. I wish I read more as a kid. And when we were at the library, one of the books that I had seen that really intrigued me was Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, the novelization. And again, I'd never seen Indiana Jones. I never heard of I had heard of Indiana Jones. I had never seen the movies. Never seen anything in regards to it. I'd seen clips from the boulder scene. I knew about the show, the live show at Disneyland. I think I may have seen that a year before I went to Disneyland Disney World. Yeah, because I went back and saw the show. Being a big fan, and my parents got me an Indiana Jones hat from the gift shop. I sold that hat. I'm really, really sad about that. It didn't fit my head. So it wouldn't have mattered anyways. Okay. I saw this book again, not knowing that Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom was a movie. I just knew it was a book. I saw the book and I was like, all right, cool. So I got it. I rented it out I checked it out from the library, and, it was one of those novelizations where they had the pictures in the center binding of the book to show you like images from the movie. And one of the first images I remember seeing in that book was Harrison Ford as Indy in the white tuxedo. And my first thought was, oh my gosh, that's Han Solo. Wait, Han Solo is Harrison Ford is Indiana Jones? And that was my entry point. I mean, my association with Star Wars, and then finding out that this was Lucasfilm that made these movies, started me on the journey into Indiana Jones. But I also kind of thought that Indiana Jones was like an ongoing, like TV, like an ABC TV series, or a like a special television event series, where it was like, you know, you'd have like an hour and a half movie, kind of like the Jesse Stone Tom Selleck movies, where I believe those premiered on TV. Correct me if I'm wrong. But they made like 10 or 15 of them. I thought that Harrison Ford had made like 10, 15 Indiana Jones movies, but they were like special TV presentations, but people loved them. Clearly I was wrong. And Indiana Jones consisted of three movies at the time. But I loved the book. I don't remember. I didn't actually remember reading much of it because I was just so infatuated by the pictures. But that led me on this rabbit hole of figuring out who is Indiana Jones. And coincidentally, very coincidentally, this is almost biblical. My brother and I were planning on, my whole family were going on this ski trip. And my brother and I were getting like reading materials and our toys to bring along in case we didn't ski. And one of the things we would get the Lego Club magazine every month, and the latest issue had come, and I think I told my brother that I was reading an Indiana Jones book, and I was telling him how cool it was. And sorry, I just hit my desk. And we flipped to a page in the Lego Club magazine, checking out all this new sets, and in this one sheet cover was coming soon. Lego Indiana Jones, and it was this amazing Lego Indiana Jones minifigure. He had his whip coiled up, he had the gun, his hat, his satchel, across his chest. You saw, I think there was a Marion Ravenwood minifigure as well included on that picture. And I just thought, wow, like, oh my gosh, I'm literally reading Indiana Jones. Like, why is this happening? And then, of course, I eventually found out that they were making Indiana Jones 4, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And I thought, oh my gosh, they're making another one. And it's Harrison Ford back as Indiana Jones. I got to see these movies. And so I ended up finding them in the wild. I found this, I believe it was the DVD 3-pack before they made the DVD, the Blu-ray 4-pack. And it was the widescreen version specifically, because the full screen version was in like a whitish gray color, and the one that I got in widescreen was a brown maroon color. And I remember I begged my mom. I found it in the wild on the spot, like, Mom, please, can we get this? Can we please get this? And to my mom's credit, she bought me the DVD set, like, in the moment, like, no question, like, all right, you like Indiana Jones, I know you're getting into it, I'll buy you the movie set, okay. And then that night, we watched Raiders of the Lost Ark for the first time, and of course, oh, I forgot one pivotal part of this whole thing. So, after I read the novelization of Temple of Doom, in this, you know, like, they had the Scholastic Book Fair, there was a 3-pack of Indiana Jones novelizations that they were selling. And I had to have, of course. Before I got the movies, I got the novelization. So I was like, okay, I gotta get these books. I wanna read Indiana Jones. So I was allowed to buy the 3-pack. And it came with Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, and The Last Crusade. And because I'm such a nice brother, I gave my brother Temple of Doom because I had already read it. I didn't really... It's like, I've already read the book, you know? You have it. I wanted to read the other two. So I read Raiders of the Lost Ark and I read The Last Crusade. And I remember, like, specific details from reading that book. And so then going into... this is so stupid. When I was a kid, I didn't really care about spoilers. I didn't really have the concept of, like, things getting spoiled. So, like, if my cousins or my friends would see a movie, I would tell them to, like, tell me exactly what happens. But it still wouldn't, like, affect my experience, which I think is just indicative of, like, the movie-going experience. Even if you know something going in, it won't per se ruin the experience of seeing it. But I read the books, and I knew what was going to happen in Raiders for the most part. And I really perked up whenever I would see or hear a detail or a line. I was like, I remember that from the book. Like, I think I specifically remember the bar scene in Nepal almost word for word when Indy comes in and he meets Marion, and Marion socks him in the face and telling him how much she hates him. I remember that scene almost word for word from the book. And although it's funny because in the book... Because it's, you know, for the Scholastic Book Fair for kids, they had to censor some of the book. So I think at the very end, instead of Marion saying, come on, I'll buy a drink, you know, a drink, she says, I'll buy a dinner. She says, I'll buy you dinner. I was particularly puzzled when I saw that moment in the movie. He's like, wait, she was going to buy him dinner. What the hell? The thing about Raiders specifically is that after I saw it, keep in mind, I'm a kid. I'm like 12, 13 years old at this time. Haven't really seen a lot of scary stuff, a lot of scary movies in my life. Pretty much stayed away from most of them as a kid. And, When I saw the opening of the... Because I remember reading in the book, like, Tolt's face started to melt, and his molten skin leaped all over his clothes, and glasses fell... Like, I had a vivid idea of what that was going to look like. I mean, I couldn't perfectly picture it, but I had an idea. The final product was so terrifying. I could not watch Raiders of the Lost Ark for a long time. Like, and it's funny because my mom and all my, I think my dad was doing a late shift. So it was just my mom and my three other siblings. We watched that movie. Everybody else seemed to be fine with it. Even my little brother. I was so terrified. I remember my mom, she even went to bed early because she couldn't stay up for the whole movie. So we were all stuck in the living room. Or not stuck in the living room, but we were in the living room. We've all fell asleep in the living room. And I could not get to sleep. I could not get that image out of my head. I had nightmares that night. And I told my mom, and she's like, okay, we're going to rethink watching Indiana Jones. So I think from then on, she had my dad watch the rest of the films with me because she's like, I don't want him watching anything else that's going to scare him. So funny enough, we watched, I started Temple of Doom with my mom. I was like, I think I can handle Temple. I think I can handle the next one. It's fine. Guy gets stabbed with a shish kebab. Of course, you know, 10 minutes into the film or 5 minutes into the film, guy gets impaled with a kebab, flaming kebab. And my mom's like, nope, we're done. And I was a little upset by that. But I watched it with my dad. And funny enough, I did not have a problem with Temple of Doom in the way that I had a problem with Raiders of the Lost Ark. I mean, obviously it was horrific. I thought, you know, everything was horrific. But I was just like, oh my gosh, that dude just pulled that guy's heart out. Whoa. I didn't think of that as being like more scary, more terrifying than a melting face. Same with Last Crusade. And, you know, and my dad, to his credit, he made sure that, you know, if there was anything that I was going to get scared by, he, you know, like, you doing all right? And I was fine. Like, I loved it. I watched Temple of Doom and Last Crusade on repeat all the time. But it took a long time for me to watch Raiders of the Lost Ark again because I was just so scared of it. But I think I watched it on a college, like a Christmas break in college, like my freshman year, I think I was back in. It was on TV, and I was just like, all right, let's just watch this again, see how scary it was. And I was fine with it. I think I just got used to the fact that, okay, that happened. It's scary. It's fine. It's, meh. It's not real. And so now I don't have a problem with any of the movies. I think they're all great. I love all of them. And then, but of course, you know, this is all building up to the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And I was so excited for this movie. I remember that Christmas, Christmas 2008, I believe the movie came out in May 2008. My mom got me all the Indiana Jones stuff for my birthday, for Christmas. My birthday's in December, so she kind of split the gifts up between the two. So I remember, I already had a hat. And I mean, I had a brown leather jacket that she got from Goodwill for me. Then I made a bullwhip out of a broken jump rope. I just snapped one of the handles, and then, you know, the other side of the handle became you know, the handle for the whip. So I had a whip, I had a hat, I had a jacket, I had everything. That year, my mom bought me several Lego Indiana Jones sets for my birthday. She bought me the old Nintendo Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom video game because we had that Nintendo system as kids. I think we still have it, actually. And for Christmas, my mom got me Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull on DVD. She got me a Indiana Jones Mr. Potato Head. I think I still have that. It's a fun one. And she also got me this, which I remember playing with all the time. She got me this Indiana Jones figurine set. I think it was like a gift set, and it was a Walmart exclusive. It came with Indiana Jones from Crystal Skull. It came with Mutt Williams, and it came with Irina Spalko. And I played with those things all the time. I still have them to this day. I have them in a special little box where I keep all my Star Wars action figures and Indiana Jones figures. I think I also got Indiana Jones from the Cairo scene in Raiders, where he has like the bullwhip thwapping action. And then I got a Henry Jones figure as well. still have those figures, great figures. Very excited for the Indiana Jones adventure series. So that's a brief overview of my love and how I fell in love with Indiana Jones. I sometimes flip back and forth between which I like better, Indiana Jones or Star Wars. And sometimes I will say Indiana Jones more because when I first discovered Indiana Jones at school, picking up that novelization of Temple of Doom, it felt like I found something, like I discovered this great secret. Like, it wasn't told to me, it wasn't shown to me by somebody. I just discovered it on my own. Again, I felt like I discovered some secret that no one else was in on except for me. Like, and the secret being that, wow, Indiana Jones is so cool. But also, those movies, each one, and even Crystal Skull, I know people don't like Crystal Skull. I agree it's not as good as the other films, but I still like it. All four of those films felt grand and special and epic. And, you know, I'm glad that it's not like that franchise wasn't, oh my gosh, this needs to be, you know, James Bond for adventure nerds. Let's crank out 20 in 50 years. It kind of is special knowing that there's only four. Now soon to be five. But that each one is like a very special love letter to the fans, a love letter to the influences of this franchise, you know, the 1930s action-adventure serials that George Lucas and Steven Spielberg grew up on, stuff like that. And I think that's why a lot of people who are big fans of Indiana Jones latch onto that franchise, because it feels like something that they discovered on their own. Maybe their parents showed them, or their dad showed them, or their friends showed them, or they just grew up with it when it came out. You know, it's hard. You know, everyone has their own experience. But for me, again, it felt like I was in on some great secret that nobody else knew about, and it was mine to indulge in. And I think the character also is just fun. He's kind of the anti James Bond, in the sense he doesn't always know what he's doing. He kind of makes things up as he goes, and I can be like that every now and then. It's not the most effective way to live your life, but it's a way. So I think the averageness of Indiana Jones, and that everyman nature he has, that is a contrast to what James Bond is, I think is what makes the character so enduring, and to me, what makes him so special to me. And that's why with Indiana Jones 5, there is a lot, especially with the current state of Disney and Lucasfilm, there is a lot riding on this next movie being good, at the very least. At the very least. Okay, let's get into these Indiana Jones 5 rumors. So, of course, we all know that Indy 5 is coming out next year, June 30th, 2023. Harrison Ford, obviously, is coming back to play Indiana Jones. We learned at D23, we learned that Sala, John Rhys Davies, is coming back to play Sala for one last time. There seems to be a pattern with Indiana Jones films having Sala in them. They tend to be the best ones. Phoebe Waller-Bridge is playing Indiana Jones's goddaughter, Helena. Or Helena, however you say it. I think she might be the daughter of Marcus Brody, if she's British. That's just a theory, though. I'm curious to see how exactly she is related in terms of the lineage. Mads Mikkelsen, the great Mads Mikkelsen, is going to be playing the villain, who is rumored to be a former Nazi scientist, rather, since this takes place in the 1960s, I believe, or maybe in the 1970s. You also have Boyd Holbrook playing a role. You have Antonio Banderas playing a role in the film. A lot of great actors in this movie, being directed by one of my all-time favorite filmmakers, James Mangold. James Mangold is a master of his craft. He's one of the last filmmakers that I think captures this macho, masculine type of filmmaking that is kind of lost to our generation. I think if he were to do a spaghetti western in the vein of like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, he would kill it. That's the kind of tone, the kind of vibe that some of his films have. He's made some of my favorite films. He's done 310 to Yuma. He's done Girl Interrupted, one of my friend Helen Roy's favorite movies. He's done Copland. He's done, oh my gosh, Walk the Line. He just did Ford versus Ferrari. He did The Wolverine. He did Logan. He did Kate and Leopold. He did, I know people probably don't know what that is, but Kate and Leopold is like a great rom-com movie. and it kind of started his relationship with Hugh Jackman, if I'm not mistaken. He's a great filmmaker. He's one of the best. And when I found out that Spielberg was not coming back to direct this movie and that they were getting him to take his place, I really didn't have any problems, any qualms with that. I thought James Mangold's a great director. I trust him with this stuff. Let's go. I'm ready. Spielberg is obviously essential to the success of Indiana Jones, but I don't believe that, like, you know, you can't direct an indie film without Steven Spielberg. And he's also involved as an executive producer, I believe. So that's the very least. Obviously that's what we know. The movie's filmed. It was delayed because of Harrison Ford's injuries. Maybe some other reasons, according to these rumors, which let's just get into right now. So, YouTuber and famed leaker, Doomcock, Overlord DVD. My general opinion of him is that he seems like a very decent guy who's genuinely trying to save who's genuinely trying to save pop culture and entertainment. A noble cause in these times. But I don't know if he has reliable sources, because from what I can tell, he hasn't been right about a lot of things. And maybe he gets lucky on certain things. Maybe he has been right on some things. But I've been following him for a while. And it's starting to seem like he's another Mike Zero. I don't know. I don't know the guy. I don't want to assume anything bad about him, because he is in the same circles of a lot of people that I like, that I follow. But these Indiana Jones 5 rumors, if he believes that these could be true, they are, I don't know, that really questions his validity. It really makes me question his validity, because these are so far-fetched rumors that I don't even think Kathleen Kennedy herself could do this, because I don't think she is necessarily on our side. I'm not a big fan of Kathleen Kennedy. I don't think she's a great studio head or a great creative. But this is just a dumb idea. Dumb even for Kathleen Kennedy, I think. So, Doomcock recently, he's been covering the rumors that Indy will die. He'll meet his younger self and he'll die because the film is about time travel. And then Phoebe Waller-Bridge will pick up his hat and whip, and then she'll rewrite history and go on all of his adventures as the new Indiana Jones. And basically erasing Henry Jones Jr. from history. That seems really stupid. There's a lot of, first off, there's a lot of blowback that would come with that situation. But at the same time, there's just like so much, there's so much like planning that would go in, like, okay, you're really going to have her be stuck in the 1930s and then like walk back through history as Indiana Jones? Why? I mean, I understand the reasoning for it, but, like, you know, even with Luke Skywalker dying in The Last Jedi, at least there was a clever arc to go with. I mean, clever as you can get. The Last Jedi would have actually done a lot of good for the franchise if they had just not killed Luke Skywalker off at that moment. But this just seems really, really far-fetched. So the rumor is that there are six endings being tested with various test audience groups. Each one of them ends with her taking on the hat and taking on the title of Indiana Jones. And Indy, in some of them, he dies. In some of them, he lives and just retires and goes off into the sunset. But in each one, she apparently takes on the mantle. Full stop. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. At face value, I didn't believe that because... Come on, six endings? Are you kidding me? You don't get James Mangold to come in and do six endings. I mean, I think he'd be pretty pissed off at that point. I mean, let's get into the information before we talk more about James Mangold, because he chimed in on this whole thing. Because people were freaking out. People were very worried about this situation, including me. I'm worried about this situation. I don't want Indiana Jones 5 to be bad. But here's what he put out on Twitter. Here's what he put out on Twitter. Sorry, I'm trying to find the tweet. I thought I just had it pulled up here, but I guess I did not. Okay, so I'm in on the Indiana Jones Discord group, and we've been talking a lot about this. And a lot of people don't believe it. A lot of people are still skeptical of Kathleen Kennedy, but we don't believe in these rumors, most of us. And look, let's see. A guy on the group named at Gus Hedenborg on Twitter tweeted at, looks like Le Doctor. I don't know who Le Doctor is. He tweeted at James Mangold and said, "Have there been any test screenings for Indy 5 yet? Rumors are flying." Mangold simply replies on Twitter, "Nope, haven't been any screenings at all." Two trains of thought here. One, James Mangold is lying, and he's just trying to cover up the crap show that's going to unfold with Indiana Jones 5. Or he's actually telling the truth. And I root for James Mangold. I respect him a lot as a filmmaker. I want to believe that he's telling the truth, and I truly do think he is. If he was lying, or I mean, if the rumors were true, why would he speak out about them? He technically doesn't have to say anything. Even if they are true or false, he doesn't have to say anything. So him speaking out doesn't necessarily prove him wrong. But I feel like he's also been on the defense for a long time with Indiana Jones. When he first started, everybody was just like screaming on his neck, "Don't mess up, don't ruin Indiana Jones." And to his discredit, he did resort to some very mean-spirited attacks from the fans. I don't really condone that. I don't think that he should have been engaging with the fans from the beginning. I think he should have just taken the high road and been like, you know, just trust me. I am trying my best to give you guys something you're going to be very happy with. I don't think he was a fan of Crystal Skull, and I think he wants to remedy that movie with something that is really going to invoke the spirit of Raiders, which is objectively, not my favorite, but objectively the best Indiana Jones movie. So you can, I mean, I think you can count on this, but that's not all, folks. The Indiana Jones 5 team doubled down on this. Frank Marshall. Oh wait, that's Le Doctor. That's right. Frank Marshall, longtime producer of a lot of Spielberg's films, Indiana Jones, all the Indiana Jones movies, he came out and tweeted, he retweeted this image, which is actually, I'm reading it from at Indiana Jones _CH, which is the Indiana Jones Adventure Outpost. He retweeted their tweet and said, "I can confirm," meaning I can confirm that there have been no test screenings at all for Indiana Jones 5. again, they could be lying. They could be trying to cover up that the crap show is, in fact, real and that this movie is going to be a disaster. But if that's true, why speak out at all? Why speak out at all if it's not true? Like, I don't understand the logic. The crap, the reshoots are real. Six endings. It's terrible. It's going horrible. You don't have to say anything. But Mangold and Marshall both spoke out and said, this is not true. This is not real. These rumors are not real. Where do you go from there? Where do you go from there? And I don't think that's all that was said on that. I believe I just read a tweet where Mangold also revealed more information. So let's see. Sorry, I thought I should have had these pulled up. Okay, at Suntory Peach tweets at Mangold, says, any comment on this? Quote, Indiana Jones 5 test screenings have been disastrous, unquote. From worldofreel.com, whatever. One of the endings, which was said to be the least popular one, had Phoebe Waller-Bridge replacing Harrison Ford at the end of the movie. Awful, if true. This guy saying, if the Phoebe Waller-Bridge replacing Harrison Ford rumor is true, that would be awful. And he says, it's not true, but that wouldn't be awful. Okay, wait a minute. I think he's, I genuinely believe that he is, I think he's trying to stand up for his stars, his actors, while not buying into the rumors. Again, this is really confusing. This is a very confusing discourse. I believe he said elsewhere, let me see if I can try to pull up the tweet, but I believe he said elsewhere that he is, he replied to another tweet about the film saying, well, you can either believe, you know, some random YouTuber, or you can believe me. But, you know, trust me, I the rumors are not true. Basically is what he said. Let's see. This guy at Wedge D. Antilles replies to Mangold's tweet. Nope, haven't been any test screenings at all. Paulo at Wedge Antilles says, no, but you're wrong. Basement Dwellers 46 said that KK personally replaces Indiana Jones with a woman in the movie, and test screening audiences hate it. To which Mangold replies, that might be a dig. He calls him Paulo when his name is clearly P-A-O-L-O, and he says P-A-U-L-O. Maybe that's just a mistake. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like Mangold can be very savage on Twitter. Not in a good way. Paulo, it's up to you to who you want to believe. An anonymous troll named Basement Dweller and Doomcock, or the actual director of the film. No one will ever replace Indiana Jones. Not in any script, not in any cut. Never discussed. So, okay. So he's saying that Indiana Jones is not going to be replaced. And it hasn't been discussed that he will be replaced. But he also doesn't agree with the idea that, you know, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, again, I think that's just him standing up for his actress. He doesn't want her to be subjected to hatred because of a rumor. I am inclined to believe Mangold. Yes, this is Hollywood. Yes, this is Lucasfilm. Yes, this is Disney. Yes, this is Kathleen Kennedy. But again, look at what she's got in this situation. She has James Mangold, who is not going to roll over and do whatever he's told in terms of a movie. If he's going to sign up for a film, it's because he wants to do it his way. You got Frank Marshall coming up to bat for him as well. You got Harrison Ford in tears at D23 saying this film is fantastic. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he never said that about Star Wars The Force Awakens. I genuinely think, guys, that love or hate Doomcock, he's wrong. I really do think we need to just give Mangold and the Lucasfilm team a chance to wow us with a great movie. I don't know if the movie is going to be completely non-woke. I you know, if Kathleen Kennedy has her way, she might try to sneak some stuff in there. But as far as Indiana Jones being replaced, I just don't see it happening. And here's another thing in regards to that too. There was officially announced that there was an Indiana Jones TV show at Disney Plus being announced. And I put out on Twitter, I said, this better be animation or don't do it at all, because I don't want to see a post-Indiana Jones 5 series without Indiana Jones in it. And I don't want to see any Indiana Jones spin-off television show without Indiana Jones. It's like making a James Bond film without James Bond. That was my initial thoughts. But the rumors are circulating. This actually came from Jeff Schneider, who is pretty consistent with his track record. He's been spot on about a lot of MCU leaks that he's been able to leak to the public. He said that the Indiana Jones film was, or the Indiana Jones series is going to be a prequel series to Raiders of the Lost Ark. And its main character is going to be Abner Ravenwood. And for those of you who aren't Indiana Jones nerds, Abner Ravenwood is the father to Indiana Jones's love interest in Raiders, Marion Ravenwood. And they had the three of them, Indy, Marion, and Abner, had a close-knit relationship, a history. So it'll be about him mentoring young archaeologists. And I think it's going to be a pretty good idea if they do this. Indiana Jones will be a supporting character, and it'll be a young Indiana Jones. They could recast, or they could get Anthony Ingruber. Looks exactly like Harrison Ford. He would be perfect to play Indiana Jones, a young Indiana Jones. Get him to play young Indy in this series. Get a great actress to play a young Karen Allen as Marion Ravenwood. You got a great series. That sounds like a recipe for success, if you ask me, depending on also what they do. There's a lot of hints as far as the past in regards to Abner Ravenwood and Indy and Marion. He apparently is an expert on the Ark of the Covenant, which could build nicely up to... Okay, this gets me more excited. If they do this in the same way that they did Rogue One as a really fun prequel to the original Star Wars, this could be a great series. But I'm not confident about that, because I don't want Indiana Jones to be like overpopulating the culture. You know, Indiana Jones and Star Wars, frankly, both work best in moderation. And right now, Star Wars is having an image problem. The brand has been tainted beyond repair, in my opinion. And if you are careful with Indiana Jones, the brand will stay if you're careful with Indiana Jones, the brand will live on. But you have to be very careful. More careful than how they were with Star Wars. So here's where I stand on the future of Indiana Jones. I have confidence in Indy 5. I really do think it's going to be a good movie. A lot of people inside the industry who actually are, you know, maybe connected or may have just, you know, heard inside things, have actually said it's really good. Harrison Ford has said it's fantastic. I am not backing down on the narrative that Lucasfilm is in deep trouble, and that Star Wars and maybe other things, even Willow potentially, are in trouble because they are unapologetically woke, and nobody wants to see that in their beloved stories and characters. But we with Indiana Jones, there seems to be something really special going on here. And I remain skeptical of any rumors from Doomcock or anybody until we see a trailer and until we see the movie itself. And you know what? We have seen a trailer. There was a leaked trailer that came out of D23. I saw the footage. Yes, it's leaked footage. It's grainy and you can't really see everything very well, but it looks really well done. And the story, although we don't get a lot of story details, looks great. I don't believe the rumors that this is about time travel. I don't really think there's anything in that footage to support that. And I mean, in general, I hope it's not about time travel because that just sounds like a really dumb idea. So I guess as far as Indiana Jones goes, we'll see. Will it be great? No. In fact, I'm going to leave you guys with this one last thing. I put up a poll on my Twitter, trying to get gauge some people on what Indiana Jones is going to be like. I didn't get a lot of look. I'm not super popular on Twitter yet. Okay, I didn't get a huge response from this, but I got at least 14, 15 people to respond. So I put out a tweet saying, Indiana Jones 5 may well be the next victim of Disney and Lucasfilms and KK's, Kathleen Kennedy's, woke agenda. I have hope it could be at the very least decent, and I still stand by this. But what say you? Is there hope for Indiana Jones? Here are the results. 21.4% voted no, it's gonna suck. 21.4% voted, it's going to be as good as the Crystal Skull. 21.4 said, yes, it'll be good. 35.7% said, yes, it'll be great. That's obviously not very helpful statistics. The first three, 21.4, straight down the ticket. The only one that's different is 35% of the vote going to, yes, it'll be great. So maybe general audiences are thinking this is going to be a good movie. Let's look at it this way. If we add these first three totals up and just lump that into a sum of, it's either going to be bad or it's going to be decent. That's 64.2% of the vote saying that it's going to be bad or it's going to be decent. So 35%, if you take that statistic, 35% are saying, 35.7% are saying, yes, it'll be great. So the vote technically goes to it's going to be bad to it's going to be decent. And that's where I stand right now. I'm still skeptical. I struggle to wonder, to recall anything that Doomcock has been 100% right on. I feel like he's said some things that have been either accidentally correct or pretty spot on. I know he likes to tout his Doomcock was right thing, but he's already calling that he's right about this when there's no proof out there already. It's just rumors. You can't claim you're right when there's no legitimate proof to this. All we have to do is take his word, and his word does not mean anything until we have actual evidence to support that. To conclude, I remain excited yet skeptical for Indiana Jones 5. I don't trust Kathleen Kennedy, but I trust James Mangold. And I trust Harrison Ford's glowing remarks on the movie. Phoebe Waller-Bridge or not, she's an actress. I hope she does great in her role, regardless of whether she becomes Indiana Jones after the movie or not. So we'll have to just wait and see. That's what it comes down to. But again, I remain skeptical, yet excited for Indiana Jones and the whatever the hell it's going to be called. So let me know what you guys think about Indiana Jones 5. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Let's get a discussion going. And you'll definitely be hearing some thoughts from me once the first trailer comes out, which I think is going to be for Avatar 2. We'll see in December if a trailer comes out then. Otherwise, and we'll see if more rumors come out. And I'm going to follow this situation very closely. And we'll see what becomes of Indiana Jones 5. So, if you're if you're paying attention this week in woke, Indiana Jones 5 might be woke. Not confirmed yet. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Vince Salerno Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. Leave a 5-star review if you can, if you liked it. Really helps get the word out there about the show. I really appreciate your guys' support. If you want to subscribe to my YouTube channel, you can follow me, Vince Salerno -TheBigBee75, where you can follow my short films and trailer reactions. I'll be posting clips from the Vince Salerno Podcast once I'm able to go to video and audio as well. I'm still trying to figure that out, so that's in the works. We'll see. And you can also follow me on Twitter at TheBigBee75. Again, guys, thanks for listening. Have a fantastic day. God bless. Peace out.